When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to Breeding, Bloodstock and Banter with Gareth Hall and the Captain.
Hello and welcome to the Breeding, Bloodstock and Banter podcast with the one and the only, the Captain, Guy Molcaster. I'm Gareth Hall. We're recording the podcast on this Wednesday, the 20th of March. It's 5 minutes past seven Eastern time, 5 minutes past six in Queensland, where we see the mighty Guy Molcaster. Hello to you, Guy. Good morning.
Good morning, Gareth. And how are you this fine Wednesday morning?
It is a great time of the year. Football season into full swing. We've got the Easter sales just around the corner. The carnivals. We had a great All-Star Mile there on Saturday. It was a okay day, I thought, there at Rose Hill on Saturday, but looking forward to Rose Hill for Slipper Day this Saturday, Guy.
Yeah, all roads lead to Rose Hill this weekend, Gareth, and I can't wait. Fly in there first thing Saturday morning and five Group 1s. Be an amazing day of racing, and then straight up for Hunter for Sunday morning to start inspections for the Easter sale.
Let's hope the track's okay then at Rose Hill on Saturday for such a big day, Guy.
Yeah, they've been talking rain, but I don't think any's arrived yet. So it'll be interesting to see what plays out in that circumstance, Gareth.
What did you make of the track last week?
Needs to improve, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a big issue in racing at the moment. I think that you can go and spend all the money that you want at these yearling sales, but when you get to these big dances and the track plays like that, what's the point?
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, the prize money is still going to be dished out and the horses will still sell very well at Easter in a couple of weeks'
time. But
the
prize money won't be that good if no one wants to punt on it.
Well, I don't think that's going to stop them punting. I can't see the Golden Slipper this weekend is going to be an amazing betting race.
It will be, depending on how that track plays in the early part. It's going to be a fascinating race. We might get straight to this Golden Slipper, because the Barrier draw made it interesting yesterday. Barrier 2 for Storm Boy. Good or bad?
Well, the interesting point of the whole Barrier draw was how all the high numbers came out first, and the horses that needed to draw well basically got a free pass.
So it's like that old the old-fashioned Calcutta when they don't spin the barrel enough times there, Guy. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
I'm not saying that at all, but it was just quite amazing that there was actually no opportunities for the good ones to draw bad after all the high numbers had gone.
Yeah, so is Barry 2 a good barrier at Rose Hill in a Golden Slipper?
I think it all probably comes down to how the Waterhouse bot horses are going to be ridden, really. You know, there's six in the field and one on the ballot. You know, most of them are front runners, and I think it really comes down to the fact of how they decide their speed map's going to be played out.
So that's a situation that I find fascinating. You've been involved in horses and big stables. So is this a case where Gay Waterhouse will sit down with each and every connection of her runners, along with Adrian Bott, and they'll work out a plan? But what happens, I don't know, and I'm just throwing this out here, and if Vin Cox has a different opinion and Mr. Zhang have a different opinion to what Gay has, so does the rider of, like, does Timmy Clark listen to a Vin Cox, or does he listen to, now this is, I'm making this up, but I'm just putting like a possible scenario. So in a situation like that, how does that all work?
I think most of the connections will have something in their mind as how they want their horse ridden.
Yeah.
And I think the horses will be ridden the way the connections want them to be ridden. I don't think the trainer is really in a position to decide the fate when you've got so many runners in a race.
Yeah, so basically you would imagine that Gay and Adrian would go, okay, we've prepared these horses and they're ready to run the race of their lives, but you talk to the connections now and you work out your tactics because we've got a conflict of interest when there's so many runners.
I think they're just going to, you know, like if there's a horse drawn very wide, I can't imagine they're going to blast and try and get to the front, you know. So I think they'll probably settle down in a medium to fast pace. I can't imagine they're going to go like absolute lunatics, but it would be nice if they did.
Yes.
But I think it's going to be a good, solid to fast tempo.
Because it's a big race for all of the owners involved in a Golden Slipper. And Gay's training for some of the bigger powerhouse stables or ownership groups in the sport, in world racing in a way. Yulong Farm, Coolmore. She's got James Harron and his big syndicate behind her as well with Espinard. So there's plenty riding on this guy. And this is what I find fascinating about it. And hats off to Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott. What a season they've had and what an achievement it is to have so many horses with live chances going into our great 2-year-old race.
Yeah, it's a very, very heads up to them. They've done a great job with their 2-year-olds this year, and I'm sure if they can pull off the last one, the one that really matters, they'll be wrapped.
I reckon J-Mac's probably thinking he's pretty happy with the scenario now. Barrier 7, he gets a horse that I think will appreciate some giving the ground in Switzerland. He looks like he's a progressive type that he keeps on improving. Waller's setting for this race. I don't know. I think Switzerland might be the horse to beat. Guy, which camp are you in?
Well, it's obvious which camp I'm in, Gareth.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to come down to if he needs to get away cleanly. He needs to probably be running fifth or sixth, and I think it'll be perfect for Switzerland. And if Storm Boy's up running third or fourth, I reckon it's going to make for a hell of a race.
So what about other horses going around in this race? Do you give a chance to, when you have a look at the market for Saturday's great race, the Golden Slipper, we've got horses like, I don't think Fully Lit, it's had some backing after the draw, can't win after what I saw in Canberra. Straight Charge, can he win a Golden Slipper?
Well, they've always held him in pretty high regard.
Yeah.
Before Straight Charge didn't go to Queensland, I don't think they thought there was much between him and Storm Boy. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But, you know, a horse like Bodyguard actually ran half a good race the other day. Might have just knocked up a little bit. He's probably going to come on a bit from the run. So I think even though there's probably only two horses in the market, I think that there's probably four or five others that are 10, 15, 20 to 1 that are probably actually quite good value.
Do you give the fillies any hope? Hey, Sugi's done nothing wrong. She's just a winner, and it's a fair case to say that Lady of Camelot was bigger than her in a Blue Diamond. She's at $11 for Gay.
Yeah. Hey, Sugi's barrier draw hasn't done her any favours. No. You know, it'd be surprising to think she could give some of these colts a really big start and beat them. But you never do know, do you?
You never know. And there's so much riding on it. So, just put this into perspective for us. So if Switzerland or a Straight Charger or we know Storm Boy will go up in value, but how much is a horse like Switzerland worth now? And then how much is he worth if he wins a Golden Slipper?
Well, you know, the horse is not going to change hands, Gareth, and it's not really for me to say how much they're worth. The market will decide if he wins a Golden Slipper, they stand at probably similar to what other Golden Slipper horses have stood at, which is probably around 100 grand, makes them worth about 40 million, something like that.
So what's the biggest stallion-making race now in the country that's worth more than any other race? So is it the Coolmore for the 3-year-olds down the straight? Is it the Golden Slipper? What race is it these days? What's the best stallion making race in your eyes in the country?
Well, it probably the two that you mentioned are the two really, Gareth. I don't think there's a hell of a lot between them. I think it probably comes down to the annual rating of the race and what horses finish behind the winner, and you know what the what these experts decide that, you know, how deep the race was.
Let's move on. We'll talk about Pride of Jenny. Wasn't she awesome? It's so exciting, isn't it, to see what she can do? I think there's nothing better than a front runner. I put a poll out there the other day. And now listen to what I'm saying here, Captain, all right? Listen before you prick your ears and start getting abusive. Like I said, is she the new Sunline in a way, the way that she goes about her job, that she, in big races, she gets out in front and she blows her opposition away? She hasn't. She's not as good as Sunline. She hasn't got her resume, but it's exciting to see a horse do what she does at weight for age.
Yeah, I actually I took a hell of a lot of notice of that impressive victory on Saturday. And then I went back and Googled the owner, and I sort of was starting to think, you know, is this another bloke that just gets out there and wants to give advice to jockeys and tell them how it's all done? And then I read a little bit of his bio, and you know, like, he was an apprentice jockey. He worked for Colin Hayes. He's been in the game for a long, long time. And, you know, I think he's probably entitled to have a little bit of say because he's had a fair bit of skin in the game for a long time. And, you know, the horse was absolutely amazing how they get to her top speed and she just keeps going, going, going. And, you know, to Mr. Brightside's detriment, it was she was the only horse in the race coming to the turn.
He's an interesting character, Tony Otterbrey, the owner of Pride of Jenny. We had him on the show on Monday, and he's a good human being. He was the first man to donate $100,000 to Dean Holland after his tragic death more than a year ago now. And he's not shy of an opinion, which I love. I love opinions, and he's got strong opinions. Tony.
Yeah, but Gareth, you know, like, for a man like that to have lost a child and then, you know, to put all his money and his interest into racing, and he obviously has a lot of people around him and they all enjoy it together, and he deserves every piece 100%. Of success he gets.
And do you know what the best part about what I loved about that interview with Tony on Monday is that...
What was that, Gareth?
He wants to win an Australian Cup with Pride of Jenny. He's desperate to win an Australian Cup with Pride of Jenny because 50 years ago, he strapped the winner for C.S. Hayes in the Australian Cup, and he thinks it'll be quite fitting if the horse that he owns can win an Australian Cup 50 years later. What a story that would be.
It would be a great story. Yeah. It's just going to be... You know, I think the way that they rode her on Saturday at Caulfield, it all came into play. But I just wonder, you know, when you turn for home at Flemington, you've got a fair bit further to run all the way down to the river, don't you?
I've just got a feeling in this Australian Cup that she'll get a softer lead because there'll be no dead set leaders in an Australian Cup. Like, there won't be a Buffalo River or an Attractable or any of those type of horses in an Australian Cup. So I think she'll be able to do what she wants in the early part and then just put the foot down at the 1,000-metre mark like she did. And I don't know, I think she'll be mighty hard to catch again in the Australian Cup. Like, she's the second favourite behind Brightside. Gold Trip at $6. Legato, the horses that have been beating her got beaten out of sight in that All-Star Mile. I can't believe they're betting $6 her. A Tissue and Cascadian, I think, are the dangers.
Yeah, well, Cascadian mounted a bit of a run on Saturday, but, I mean, without being too tough over the last couple of years, he's been more a bridesmaid than a bride, hasn't he?
The Australian Cup could be the race of the autumn.
Not really about that, Gareth. The Queen Elizabeth will be a far better race.
You reckon? All right.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah, it probably will be because they'll all probably go there. That's a good point you make. Sue, gotcha. J-Mac at his best. Barrier helped him. Conditions helped him. But she's a winner. And she had to carry weight to defeat those mares in that Group 1 and the fillies, of course.
Yeah, a couple of horses came at her late and she just really dug in. You know, she's got a very big heart and it's really good to see her back after the disappointing preparation last year.
I don't want to go back, you know. I with the weekend preview, I know you listened to Giddy Up, Captain, on Thursday, and I've been winning, even though I'm a terrible, terrible punter. You know, I was winning the $200 staking plan for the with all the experts and the pro punters, etc. And I probably play a little bit too dangerous. I'm trying to score 100 off 28 balls. So I thought this will knock everybody out of the contest. I go, let's have $200 all up. This is Monopoly money. $200 all up. We'll go Sue Gotcha. Pride of Jenny was the moral in the All-Star Mile, in my eyes, into Gatsby's. And what about that performance by the Boom Colt? Geez, the bubble burst there, Captain.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is, you've got to realize, Gareth, at this time of year, like some of those, a lot of these two-year-olds probably have reached their top, and he probably ran his top at Canterbury when he won. I mean, he worked good in between, but yes, he on face value is disappointing the other day, but he'll live to fight another day. Yep. And it's disappointing for your Monopoly money bet.
Yeah, it was.
Because mine wasn't Monopoly money.
The wheels were spinning, they tell me. The wheels were spinning anyway. I blame
them. Yeah, I think if you're in the 1-1, you peel to the outside top of the straight. There's not really many excuses, is there?
No. Disappointing to hear Fangirl is out of the autumn. If Fangirl was in the Queen Elizabeth, would you back her to defeat Pride of Jenny over a mile? I know it's not over a mile to Queen Elizabeth, but who's the best miler in the country now?
Jesus, great to see you've done so much research for this show today, Gareth, isn't it? We've even got the distances wrong.
Well, I'm just saying, mate, that's a bit harsh, Captain. I'm trying to say, all right, then I'll ask you this question then. Who's the best weight for age galloper in the country?
Well, let's get through the carnival and we'll be able to work it out and agree on it together. Because like most of these horses are only just in their second and third runs of their prep. You know, they're all gearing up for this Saturday, the Rider, in a couple of weeks, the Doncaster, then into the Queen Elizabeth, you know, and then, you know, there's even going to be some, not that the best ones will go to Doomben for the Doomben Cup, but it'll still be a pretty good race. So I think there's half a dozen horses have all got a chance at the moment.
So in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes now with the Bet365, this is the market here. Mr. Brightside, $4.50. Think It Over, $6. Via Sistina, what can you tell us about that galloper now with Chris Waller, formerly trained by Mr. Bowie in England? Is that right?
Correct. George Bowie used to train. It was bought by Yulong. She's going to have her first run on Saturday, maybe. Probably needs a wet track. I think J-Mac's riding her. On her best form, very, very good, but is reasonably ground-dependent in my eyes.
Okay, that's interesting. So you think she needs a wet track?
Well, her form sort of says she does. Some people were trying to tell me she's performed on top of the ground, but I know the connections that raced her previously were adamant that she needs a lot of juice in the track.
That's interesting. Wonder what the jock thinks. He's got the ride there, Via Sistina, James McDonald. Pride of Jenny's at $8, Gold Trip at $11, Tissue is at $15. So it's going to be a great race at Queen Elizabeth. Unfortunately, no Fangirl there, but that's just racing, isn't it, Guy?
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, put her out for the autumn and she'll come back for the spring. I'd say they'd be looking to try and get to something like a Cox Plate next spring. So that'll bring a hell of a lot of good horses together in the Cox Plate, as it does every year.
Now, I haven't got a great eye for a horse like you have, but I was at Moonee Valley yesterday morning for some track work, and I stood next to a horse by the name of Cylinder. Geez, he's got a beautiful eye, this son of Exceed and Excel. He's a beautiful-looking horse, Guy. He reminds me of you in your heyday.
Yeah, I think after he won that Newmarket last week, everybody looks at him in a little bit of a different light as well, Gareth.
No, I loved him. I loved him before that, but he's a striking colt.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to want another horse going to stud at Godolphin soon, so I'm sure he's the one. And if he can pull off another Group One by giving Imperatrice a tidy up this weekend, even though pretty badly off at the weights.
Yeah, they can't.
Yeah, the tin barrier can sort a few of them out at Moonee Valley, though, can't it?
Yeah, I know, but she's a freak. She, like, wait for age, she could sit, like, she's got that ability like no other horse that I've seen at the Valley that can change legs at just the right time around that bend. Horses slow down around that Moonee Valley turn, and she goes quicker.
Yeah. I think, you know, she probably got reasonably fairly beaten the other day. I mean, yes, she was giving weight to Cylinder, but, you know, like, it's not quite as cut and dried as it was pre-last week.
Are you going to give her credit?
I give her credit. Well, I give her a lot of credit.
I'm just
looking for an interesting horse race, Gareth.
You said that, like, she should have come to the Everest. She was beating no one in the spring. You maybe gave her a little bit of credit after the champion sprints, but apart from that, you've been a knocker of her. For some reason, I can't work out why, Guy.
I don't know if I'm being too tough, Gareth, but I thought she, you know, had every chance last week.
I thought she was on the wrong part of the track with the northerly winds. I thought she was a mighty effort. Now, I want to ask you this question, and I would never, ever, like, this is just me from a racing point of view. Peter Moody, what's he doing with I Wish I Win? And I love Moods, and I know what he's like. He goes, well, I own this horse. I'm going to look after him. I'm going to keep him away. I'm going to keep him around for 3 or 4 more years. But it's like I've never seen anything like it in my time following racing, that a horse just races once or twice a year.
Yeah, I think you'll probably find with his physical setup that it's pretty hard to go to dance after dance with him, Gareth. And, and everybody knows how much money's available in that Everest. So if it was, you know, if it was going to work that you could sort of guarantee yourself another 3 years out of him, you would be a little bit careful in how you place him. And he's obviously not straightforward either, you know.
No. What about the decision there yesterday? I'd love to get your opinion on this. Now, I'm all for it. One of our leading broadcasters in sport, Jared Waitley, he'll have a chat with Wayne Hawks later on today on his show called Waitley on 11:16. He'll argue that it's madness that they've moved the Manicato from Cox Plate Day. But for me, I think it's a great move to move the Manicato on grand final eve, because then there's a strong possibility you're going to get an A-grade field instead of a B-grade type of field, Guy. Because you'll have the Moya into the Manicato into the Everest. Now, the biggest fear that Moonee Valley and Racing Victoria will have is that they've made their move on that chessboard, but then Volandis will make, like, I think the lead-up races now to the Everest are worth $300,000. I know there's bonuses involved, but he'll probably make one of those races $1 million, and that just buggers up all of the thinking behind what Moonee Valley and Racing Victoria were trying to achieve with the Manicato.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you need the best horses running in the best races, and I do think it's good if they can try and have good lead-ups into an Everest. And I don't think, you know, I think for the best of the sport that some of the Victorian horses should race in Victoria before they head up to the Everest, you know?
Yeah.
So let's hope they don't go pouring more money into the lead-ups and it ends up a very good race in the final.
Well, I think it's a good move because you got I Wish I Win and Giga Kick that would have probably went to the Manicato last year if it was in that place, because they were looking for a race. They're even going to have that match race on preliminary final eve, I think it was. Well, grand final eve, one of those weekends, because they needed a run before the Everest and they didn't want to travel up to Sydney. It's a good debate to have. What'd you make of the Magic Million sale in Adelaide there, Guy?
Yeah, it was probably pretty tough. I think the smaller sales at this end of the year probably suffered a little bit, but I don't think there's going to be any problems with the Easter sale in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, the top lot there was an I'm Invincible for $400,000. It was a filly. Another top lot being a filly, an Extreme Choice Colt for $360,000, and then a Justify had a Shop Till I Drop for $300,000. But the Easter sale just around the corner, Guy, it's going to be some sale. I'm excited about it. I had a look at the catalogue and the excitement around Winx's first foal being sold at the sales, of course, by Piero. Have you had a look at that filly yet?
Going to have another look at her next Monday, Gareth.
What do you make of her? Can you give us any insights?
I think you look at these horses 3 or 4 times and you see how they develop from month to week, and and then you'll have a look at a couple more times at the sales. We actually had a couple of people ringing up about her. So be interesting to see if the people that are making the phone calls actually want to spend the coin.
So have you found that because Easter's a different ball game than compared to some of the other sales, that your orders are similar to what they have been in previous years?
Yeah, you'd probably be looking to buy most of your horses for one-man people. It's reasonably hard to do a syndicate at the Easter sale because of the numbers involved, but we did syndicate Sue Gotcha there a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, and she's turned out very well for us, and look forward to trying to do another one just like her.
I reckon we should do one 300,000, 250, 300 guy. Giddy up. We'll call it Giddy Up Guy.
Yeah, okay. Well, you get your 250 and send it to Andrew Munns before next Monday and I'll sort it out for you, Gareth.
Is it Munsey or Sebastian? Which one?
Munsey does the money. Sebastian just organises your hotel.
Okay. All right then. Well, you make sure you pick me a good one then.
No problem. When the money's in the bank,
yes,
I'll be on the job.
All right then. 2.5% or 5%?
Well, you want half the job or you want a whole job?
Hey, hello to you, Jackson France.
Morning, Gareth. Morning, Captain.
Hi, Jackson.
You sound a bit crook, Jacko.
Yeah, been a little bit under the weather. So,
what's wrong with you these days?
Might have to take it easy on the vapes, Gareth.
Gareth.
What?
Gareth.
Whatever. This is my little protege. Look at it. What's he? I'm disgusted.
Before you got to the studio, Jackson took liberty to fire in 15 questions in 2 minutes to me.
What did he say?
So we're going to have to have him on $10 a question from now on.
Making the most of my time, Captain, trying to learn from the best. But we've got a few from the listeners today. And the first one comes in from Mitch, and he asks, is there any value in an operation like Darley to race Cylinder beyond his three-year-old season?
It comes down to the fact if we've got another horse going to stud. So if they happen to have two horses going to stud, they might take one this year and one next year if they thought that there was some improvement in the horse. But I don't see another horse that they'd be looking to stand next year, so I'd say Cylinder would be definitely going to the barn next year.
Final question today comes through from Mark Captain, and he says, what have you made of Zusane's progeny? It was good to see Drifting bring up his first stakes winner in the Magic Knight.
Yeah, well, I think what we're getting from the Zusane's is actually a little bit more premature than to be expected. The horse himself was a carnival horse in Brisbane that went on to be a good three-year-old. So with these early winners and the amount of runners he's had, I think everything's looking pretty positive towards the way Zusane's going to end up.
What's the email?
jackson.franz@sen.com.au.
I got a question. Okay. This is coming from James from Von Kluse. What did you make the embellishers in Adelaide?
They're a little bit disappointing, but I mean, he might be more of a New Zealand sire, actually, Gareth. So we'll be looking to maybe buy some of those at the Ready to Run sale in Karaka this year.
Okay. There you go. That's an interesting question. What about Captain's pick this week?
There's a horse that's been very well backed in the Mannion Cup. It was $6 yesterday into $3.50 from William Haggis's Post Impressionist. Got very good European form. Think it'll be hard to beat here at Rosehill.
Okay. William Haggis has got a great strike rate. In fact, he's got a far better strike rate here than he has back at home.
Yeah, he's a pretty good trainer. He's a wily old character, Gareth.
He is a wily character.
You'd get on pretty well with him.
Hey, just can I run through a few races with you, if that's okay?
Yeah, it'll have to be quick.
Yeah, I'll just be quick, all right. We talked about the slipper there. George Ryder, Think About It, Lady Laguna, Kovalika. Kovalika, is he a pretender now, Captain?
Well, let's give him Saturday's chance and we'll see what happens, eh?
All right, then. And I love you, Nev Morgan. I'm only stirring Captain up, not you, so don't get upset with me. Think It Over, $2.80. Via Sistina, $2.80. Buckaroo, $4. Lindemann, $5.
It wouldn't be a bad play, Lindemann, on the back up, would it?
No. I like Buckaroo. I think Waller's got him ready to go.
I think you might find Buckaroo might be just one-hit wonder going Sydney Cup or something.
Okay.
He's sort of just behind them each time. You just wonder if he's got the they might be just waiting until he gets down on a lower weight for Sydney Cup. I wouldn't be surprised.
I wonder what Dominic Byrne and James Cummings are thinking with the tactics with Tom Kitten in a Rose Hill Guineas. He hasn't had any luck, this horse. He's the favourite with Miller to Rise and Riff Rocket, and immediately he's had good backing.
Did you laugh, though, when they said that Dominic Byrne had that filly of theirs odds on last week and it returned $11?
Which one was that? Sardozi.
Sardozi, yeah.
Who's better horse, Orchestral or Sardozi?
Oh, I don't know. I think you want to be on Sardozi coming up rather than Orchestral trying to keep it, you know, keep another grand final win, you know?
Yeah. Af Cabin Osmosis, Passive Aggressive as Fura.
Four good horses. I'm on Af Cabin.
Af Cabin, yes.
Mm.
That's basically it. We got the William Reid. Who you beat? Like, you can't go past the Mighty Mare, can you?
Well, we've already had this discussion.
Yeah. There we go. Hey, it's always a pleasure, mate. Guy, you have a wonderful day. Make sure you keep
a wonderful day too, Gareth.
Maybe find us that champion.
You might have to take Jackson to the A&E. He just doesn't sound his usual bouncy self. Is there something happened to his Blue Point weanling?
I don't know, but I just want you to keep on finding me those embellishes, and I'll be much appreciative, Captain, if you could, you superstar.
See you later.
See you later, Captain.